Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Learn more of God's Word and grow deeper in your walk with Christ.
One day, and I think it's going to be very soon, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to take us home to be with him. What a thrill, what a promise that we know as believers living in this world of sickness and sorrow and the things that we go through, the trials, that one day things will be set right. One day we are going home. And so we're going to look at this passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you found your place there, beginning in verse number 13. It says there, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to, Lord, look into your word tonight. I pray, God, that you would give us the spiritual eyes to see, God, and I pray that you would speak to each heart. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, Lord, that it would be your words and not mine. And Lord, your message, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to focus in these next few moments. Lord, help us to leave here changed. Help us to leave here, God, with a stronger focus on eternity and the fact that, Lord, you are coming very, very soon. And Lord, we can rest in that promise. Lord, we're thankful that your promises are true and they've never failed. And God, we are so grateful, God, tonight for the opportunity to the freedom that we have to hear, to be here and to preach your word and to hear it. And so we pray your blessings upon the rest of this service. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is writing here to the church of Thessalonica. And he didn't want us to miss this very important truth about the coming of Christ. And you can almost imagine Paul sort of leaning over and sort of saying, "Here, I have something for you that I don't want you to miss. I have something to tell you." The event that we see here described in these verses is commonly referred to as the rapture. Now, the rapture, you don't find that word in the Bible, but it's taken from a Latin word that means to snatch or to seize or catch away. And that's exactly what's going to happen when Jesus comes. When he comes back and returns for his church, it's going to happen quickly, in an instant, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as Paul describes it in the book of Corinthians. Immediately, our bodies will be changed. We'll receive new, glorified bodies, ones that can live forever. And we will be united with the Lord. As Baptists, we believe that the Bible teaches Christ could come at any moment, the imminent return of Christ. There's nothing else that needs to happen, no special event that needs to take place before that this great event that we've read about here is described in 1 Thessalonians happens. It's the next event on God's prophetic calendar, the rapture of the church. Jesus returning for the church. I'm so thankful for the promise that Christ is coming back, aren't you? You know, as we think about it, over the years, there's been many people have tried to set a date. They've tried to say, well, he's going to come this year. Here's why. I remember, I think I was in junior high or right around that age. There was a book that came out. Probably many of you remember this, but 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is Going to Happen in 1988. Any of you remember that book that came out? It sold thousands of copies, and I remember, you know, people were talking about it, and It was supposed to happen in September around the Jewish festival of Rosh Hashanah, which is actually, we're right in that time frame. But anyways, he had 88 reasons he listed out. He logically said, this is why this is going to happen. And then what happened? 1988 came and went. He wrote another book in 1989, revised it, and he kept revising the date when Christ was going to come. You know, Jesus himself said, we need to be careful about people that try to set a date for when the rapture is going to happen. In Matthew 24, 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so God chose not to reveal to you and I exactly when he's going to come back. He just said, be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Be living as if he could come today. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back tonight for his church? We would be raised out of this place. We would go home to be with him. Our loved ones would be resurrected, those who have died in Christ. And we have that promise ahead of us. And so we should live with that mindset each day. This could be the day. Lord, this could be the day that you return for your church. Notice that Paul, here in these verses, he writes here, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Paul was emphasizing he didn't want the Thessalonians to be uninformed about Christ's coming. Why? Well, because as we've read in this passage, the message regarding Christ's second coming brings us hope. Verse 18, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It brings us encouragement, doesn't it, to know that Jesus is coming and he's coming soon. It brings us hope. And by the way, it's not the kind of hope that the world talks about. You know, we think about hope in this world. Well, I hope this happens. I hope I do this, or I hope this happens. No, the biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation. Mark it down. It's going to happen. And so in another passage, it's actually referred to, the rapture, as the blessed hope of the church. It's going to happen. The promise is going to take place one day. And we just need to be watching. We need to be ready and waiting for him. And think about the fact that Jesus is going to come, as this passage describes, personally, visibly, and suddenly. All right? It's going to be personal, visible, and suddenly to take believers to the place that he's preparing for us. The coming of Christ is going to happen in two phases. And so the first one is referred to here in 1 Thessalonians, the rapture of the church. Jesus' feet will not touch the ground. He will come in the clouds. I remember growing up, great gospel song. I think we sang it one time, stepping on the clouds, and we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. And Jesus is going to come out. He's going to come out on the clouds. His feet will not touch the earth when he comes for his church. However, later on, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus literally will come, and his feet will stand upon the earth. And so there are two phases, not to confuse you. We are referring to the rapture, the very first phase, when he will come for his church. All right? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52 also describe this event that's going to take place. It says there, behold, I show you a mystery. Paul again writing here, we shall not all sleep. This is referring to believers who have died in Christ. Even in 1 Thessalonians, it mentions that word being asleep. It's a euphemism. It's another way of saying this is believers who have passed on. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And so it's going to happen in an instant, the Bible says. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be raised, and we will go home to be with him. It says just four things I'd like us to see from this passage in 1 Thessalonians. The first thing is that we have hope. We just talked about that word hope. But we have hope because we know Christ will return for his church. We have hope because we know Christ will return for his church. And we know, based on the authority of God's word, it's going to happen. Did you notice there, Paul writing to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says in verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." By the word of the Lord. This is Paul authoritatively saying, this is God that has given him this word. This isn't his opinion. This isn't some man's opinion about what's going to take place in the future. But God has given him this has revealed it to him through the Holy Spirit. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. It's going to happen. It's based on the authority of God's word. And we've seen several places here in the New Testament where it's referred to. By the way, the rapture is only for believers. Only Christians who have died will be resurrected at the time of the rapture. Unbelievers, they're going to be resurrected at a later time. We refer to that as the great white throne judgment. That's recorded in the book of Revelation. So what exactly does Paul mean here when he writes, concerning them which are asleep? And he says that here in these verses. Sleep, again, in the New Testament, it's another word for death. It refers to believers in Christ who have died. Their bodies were buried. Their spirits went to be with the Lord. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, it says, we are confident and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If our loved ones knew Christ as their Savior, we have that comfort, that great assurance. Their spirit has gone to be with the Lord. Their bodies will one day at the rapture be resurrected and be rejoined and be united with their spirit and body. The word asleep here assumes that one day believers who have died will wake up. And that's going to take place during the rapture. And it brings us hope. Paul's saying there's no need to worry about it. And many of us have loved ones that have passed on. And we know one day we're going to see them again. What a thrill to know that we will see them again. That they are with the Lord now. And one day we will be reunited with them. And so secondly, we have hope because we will be part of a great reunion in the air. A great reunion in the air. Notice in verse 14 here, Paul makes the argument that if we believe Jesus died and rose again, that it's no problem at all for him to resurrect those who have died in Christ. Christ is the first fruits. He's already beaten death, conquered death. It's no problem at all for him to resurrect those who have died in Christ. Those who have preceded us in death, believers, will be part of the rapture. They'll be the first ones, notice, the first ones that are gathered to Christ. It says in verse 14, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Again, this phrase is referring to believers who have died, those who knew Christ as their Savior. Isn't it a comfort to know that we will see them again? We will be reunited with them one day. We had a great time yesterday, a family reunion, and it's always a great time to see people that you haven't seen for a long time, isn't it? To catch up, and we had several people that we hadn't seen for quite a while that came up from South Carolina, and being together as a family, and just fellowshipping with one another, and what a great time that is. But an even greater reunion awaits us as Christians, and one day we will see those who have gone before us, who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Notice that it also says here, in verse 15, Paul, again, making reference to this, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And he's talking about this authority. It's backed up by the authority of God's word. And also notice that there's an order to the rapture. They shall not prevent, in verse 15, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now, this word prevent, it's sort of an old English word. We don't really use talk like that anymore, but basically means that the living will have no advantage over those who have died when Christ returns. Paul, he was just continuing to emphasize to the Thessalonians and to us that they didn't need to worry about their loved ones who had died. And there were some questions in the Thessalonian church about that. They wondered what had happened to their loved ones who had died, who had gone on before them. And so Paul's reassuring them that their loved ones won't be left out. Their loved ones are going to be first. They will be raised from the grave first. And then Christ will bring all of us back together again. And Warren Wiersbe, the great Bible teacher, he said this about describing this event. He said, "Death is the great separator, but Jesus Christ is the great reconciler." And Jesus is going to set things right again. We live in a world where there's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache. There's sorrow. We experience it from day to day. But when Christ comes, everything will be set right again. We have that hope, that assurance, something to look forward to. And Jesus is coming again. When Christ returns, this passage describes it in a way, there's going to be three unique sounds. Look with me, if you would, in verse 16. A shout from heaven. So first of all, there's going to be a shout. Then there's going to be the voice of an archangel. And then the sound of a trumpet. There's going to be no mistaking it when Jesus comes through those clouds. He breaks through. We're going to know. We're going to recognize it. And what a great hope that we have as believers, knowing that Christ is going to come back. We are going to be reunited with our loved ones. Thirdly, we have hope because we will live with Christ eternally. We will live with Christ eternally. Paul writes there, "So shall we ever be with the Lord, permanently, forever, in God's presence, reunited with our loved ones again. We'll finally see that place that God is preparing for us." Jesus in John 14 said this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And it's indescribable, the beauty of heaven. Sometimes we think about, well, what's it going to look like? John describes it in Revelation, some things of what it's like. But even John couldn't come up with the right words in the human language to describe all of the beauties that await us in heaven. Needless to say, God is going to be indescribably beautiful, this place that's being prepared for you and I. We have a future hope, a greater hope, and we need to continue to keep our eyes focused on eternity. And one day, Jesus is coming back to take us to that great place. Fourthly, we have hope because we will be delivered from the hour of tribulation, the hour of tribulation. And the Bible, the way the Bible describes the rapture, it's going to happen before the tribulation, the seven-year period of judgment that's coming upon this earth that's described in the book of Revelation. We'll be out of here. We won't have to go through that time of tribulation. The Bible describes that the rapture is going to happen before that moment. We believe in the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. There's several verses that support this very quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And then 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." We need not worry. We will not be here when all of those things are happening on And we're seeing even today, we're seeing sort of the beginning stages of that, aren't we? You look around our world and the rumors of war and the things that are going on, the falling away, even in America as we see the falling away from the church and from God, we're seeing that leading up to a point, eventually Jesus will come. Eventually that seven-year period of tribulation will occur. But we can be assured that we will not be here as the church. If you're a believer, we'll be taken out of here, raptured before it happens. And so very quickly as we close, as we think about practically the rapture, what does this mean for us as believers? Well, we've talked about how it brings us hope. It should also change the way that you and I live. The imminent return of Christ, the fact he could come tonight, should inspire us, motivate us to live a holy life, to live a pure life. Can you honestly ask yourself and answer the question, am I living a holy life? Am I ready for Jesus to come? Should he come tonight? Our desire should be to stay faithful to him, to remain faithful and steadfast with our eyes focused on him, realizing that the time is short and that he could come at any moment. Several verses refer to the fact that we should be living, this truth that Jesus is coming should change the way that we live. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Notice this last phrase, "And every man that hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure." The book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Paul also talks about how he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He finished the race. He kept going. He endured. And you and I can endure today. Even as we see the world around us, we see the crumbling of the foundations, so to speak, of righteousness. Even as we see the signs pointing that the end is coming, that we can be assured, we can be inspired to live a pure life, a holy life. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christ to come? Are you living a life that's faithful to him? Are you living a life? Are you investing in eternity? Are you investing in the things that matter most? And all of us need to think about that as we think about this truth that Jesus could come tonight. I also think about the fact that time is short, and if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that time is running out. If you've never done that, now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You can be a part of that group of believers who are going to one day go home to be with him. You can be a part of that number. Honestly, as you think about your life, have you honestly ever sincerely accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Now is the time to make the decision. Don't wait. Don't put it off. We don't know what the future holds. He died to save you. He loves you. And the Bible says we can be saved simply by putting our faith and our trust in him. It's a free gift. I know this is a Sunday night crowd, but maybe there's somebody here tonight. You've never done that. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Call upon him. The Bible says all you must do is call out, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so tonight, maybe you've never done that. I would encourage you to do it tonight. Don't wait another moment. Jesus is waiting for you. He's pursuing a relationship with you. Tonight, make that decision to trust Christ as your Savior.
Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.